We're doing the book of Nahum. We'll dedicate our learning to Sarachaya bat Dani HaKohen. The book of Nahum begins with a prophecy focused on the Assyrian Empire. Remember that Nineveh is described in last week's parsha as being the capital of the Assyrian Empire. And the prophet Yonah ben Amittai, Jonah, came and prophesied that Nineveh would be overturned. The people of Nineveh repented. Yonah knew full well that their repentance would not last, and that's one of the reasons he did not want to go and warn them, because he knew they would do tshuva, but it would be short-lived. And Yonah was correct. But as is often the case, when people look at the stock market and they say, today it'll crash, tomorrow it'll crash, and it's very hard to focus when things are going to crash. It's hard to forecast that. And so Yonah also waits this 40 days and says, they're going to crash, but they don't. It takes a little bit longer than that. Ultimately, they do, just like everyone knows. Ultimately, the market will crash. It's just a question of when. Well, the people of Nineveh, they are going to crash. They're not going to stick to their tshuva. And it's not just the ups and downs that any person has, but rather it's because their tshuva is missing a key ingredient, and Yonah is aware of that. And that's why Yonah doesn't want to go on this mission. But God does want this mission. God does want the people of Nineveh to be given a chance. And so they do tshuva, but they're very quick to return to their old ways. And God sends a new prophet, the prophet by the name of Nahum. And that is the beginning of the book of Nahum. And so we begin.
What's the key ingredient?
That's a good question. For that, you're welcome to access our Yonah classes. Or maybe we'll discuss it later as we go on. Masa Nineveh Sefer Chazon Nahum Ha'el Koshi. The vision of prophecy about the city of Nineveh. The word Masa in simple terms is an introductory term for prophecy. We have a word Chazon, Nevuah, Mar'e, Masa. Different terms for different types of prophecies. The Targum very often translates Masa to mean a raising of a glass. Masa literally means to uplift, to raise. And the prophets often discuss giving a nation to drink of the Kos HaTar'ela, the cup with poisonous wine. That's a way of describing how the nation is going to come to its demise. And so the word Masa, the Targum often translates as Metal Kas Dilvat, the uplifting of the cursed cup to give the city of Nineveh to drink. Sefer Chazon Nahum El Koshi. The book begins by calling itself a book. It doesn't say the prophecy of. It says Sefer, the book of the vision of Nahum, who comes from the city El Kosh.
So Masa literally means lifting up?
Yes.
And it refers to punishment.
According to the Togum, yes.
Usually?
Yes. Okay. And so, the Navi in Nahum is now going to describe Hashem's traits. If you recall, in the book of Yonah, towards the end of the book, Yonah said, God, I know that you are... And he describes God's traits, Kel, Rahum, V'chanun. Oh, but he leaves out the Emet, you remember, correct.
That's
and the Navi in Nahum is now again going to describe Hashem's traits, but this time it's different traits. And he says, El kano v'nokeim Adonai, nokeim Adonai uval chema. Nokeim Adonai letzarav v'noterhu le'oyevav. Hashem is a zealous God. Hashem takes revenge. Kel kana v'nokeim Hashem. Hashem does pay back. Hashem does bring people to task over what they've done. And it's interesting to read this in the book of Nahum, because very shortly we are going to hit the book of Habakkuk. Nahum is a very short book, and right afterwards we reach the book of Habakkuk. And Habakkuk is going to focus on asking God, wait a second, how could this be? How could the Jews fall in the hands of such wicked people? Where's your justice, God? And so to speak, as an introduction to the book of Habakkuk, we see Nahum who says, I know Hashem, that you do take justice, you do avenge what people do wrong, and that nation that exiled the Jewish people. We described when we learned the book of Yonah, how the Assyrian exile was worse than the Holocaust. So more Jews were lost during this period than during the Holocaust. And Nahum says, I know Hashem, you take revenge. Uval chimain, you have the capacity to express wrath. Nokeim Hashem litzarav, Hashem takes revenge from his enemies. Vinoter hu lo'yevav, and he maintains enmity for those that are his enemies.
Adonai erech apayim ugdol koach v'nakei lo yenakei Adonai besufa uvis'ara darko ve'anan avak raglav. Hashem, he says, I know that you have a capacity to have much patience. Erech apayim, you put off anger. Ugdol koach, and you have tremendous strength. Some people put off their anger because they have very little to back it up with. You could do everything, and nonetheless, you withhold your anger. You could react right away, but you don't. You have patience. You wait. V'nakei lo yenakei, but people shouldn't mistake in your patience with your being forgiving in a free way, that you'd be forgoing of what they do wrong. No. You have patience, but that doesn't mean that you're mivater, you're willing to forgo what people do wrong. No, people have to repent, they have to live up to it. The Talmud says, Kol ha'omer ha'kadosh baruch hu vatran hu, whoever says that God forgoes things, he's willing to let go, yivatu me'av, then his innards should be let go, his intestines should drop. He says, God's just willing to drop the case, well then, let his intestines be dropped. God doesn't drop anything. God has patience. He's willing to wait. God has a lot of patience. But God is not willing to simply forgo and say, forget it. Hashem bisufa uvis'ara darko. Hashem, his path is with great tornadoes and twisters and whirlwinds. V'anan avak raglav. And the clouds are, so to speak, they're like the dust that rises as he walks by. And he is describing how Hashem uses these tools as tools to sometimes take revenge. Be it the Egyptians, where Hashem sent the great wind to split the sea and then have it fall upon them. Be it the generation of the flood, where it's described that God blew a wind and that was also part of the bringing of the flood. And be it the Egyptians who suffered with God's clouds that God sent down to separate between the Jews and the Egyptians, and then those clouds themselves started inflicting punishment upon the Egyptians. So Nahum says, I know, Hashem, that on the one hand you have patience, you're not quick to punish even the wicked. You wait and see that maybe they'll repent. And he's referring to the Assyrian Empire. Here they were sinful. They deserved to be punished. They did a tshuva which was not a complete tshuva. And Hashem, nonetheless, was patient. He was waiting to see, is this the part of a new trend? Are they going to become better? Or is this just a blip in the screen and then they're going to keep going down? Yes?
When you say waiting to see, what does that mean?
Hakol bidei shamayim chutz meirat shamayim. God controls everything, but He leaves it to our choice, whether we'll be a God-fearing person or not. And God treats the world as though He does not know the future. He does, but He leaves it to us to define our future. God knows all along where they're headed. If Yonah can forecast that they're not going to live up to their tshuva, I think God could too. And nonetheless, the way God treats the world is as though He's in the present, as though He does not know what the future holds. That's the whole idea of Bechira Chofshit, that we have free choice. Pasuk Dalid.
גואר בים ויבשהו וכל הנערות החריב.
God roars at the sea and he dries it up. He can make all the rivers go dry. And here he is describing in the simple sense God's capacity to control nature. In a deeper sense, the rivers are sometimes a reference to the nations. Just like the rivers are described in poetic form as though they're always rising and crashing, going up and down, so do the nations make a lot of noise. The Navi in Isaiah and Yeshaya describes them kishon maim kabirim yishaun, just like all the great waters, there's great turmoil and they're constantly going up and down and up and down, but they're really not getting anywhere. They're always within the same framework, more or less. They're in the same location. So too the nations keep trying to get up and get down, and this nation goes up and that nation goes up, but at the end of the day they're all in the same locale. They're all within the same realm. Am Yisrael has a capacity to break that realm. And Hashem can dry up those rivers, so to speak. Hashem can dry up the power of different nations, different empires. And here he is prophesizing that Hashem will bring a king who will dry up the Assyrian Empire, and that is Nebuchadnezzar. In the second year of his reign, he conquers the Assyrian Empire, and that is the end of the Assyrian Empire. So he says God can dry up rivers in a moment. He's describing how God can cause empires to crumble in a moment. Umlal Bashan v'Chalmel uferach Lebanon umlal. Umlal means it's being cut down. In modern Hebrew, umlal means miserable, but in Tanakh, umlal means to be cut down. Umlal Bashan v'Chalmel, the area of Bashan and Chalmel, where there was lush produce, things were growing, and these two areas will be completely desolate. Uferach Lebanon, and so too the flowers up in Lebanon, all of them will suddenly dry up. And this is again, it's a metaphor. It's a description of how the nations, they seem so lush, so powerful, and in a short amount of time, God can make them lose their strength. Chazal say that this is a reference to the temple. Levanon very often in Tanakh is a reference to the temple because the temple was Malbin Avonotem Shel Yisrael. It would whiten the sins of the Jewish people. And our sages say that Shlomo HaMelech made different plants of gold. And he made those plants where you'd have vines of gold. And he had a way of making these vines of gold produce gold leaves. And then these leaves would fall down to the ground and the poor would sometimes be able to take from them. He had a way of making gold grow like that on the trees. It's a discussion in Talmud exactly how it was done. What's the meaning of that? How did that happen? But at any rate, Chazal say that Hashem made it that the flowers of Lebanon, these beautiful gold flowers and vines and leaves, they all went dry. When the enemies entered the temple, they didn't see it blossoming. What they saw were dried, shriveled figurines of vines and flowers. Okay. Harim ra'ashu mimenu v'hagevaot hitmogagu. The mountains, they ra'ashu mimenu, they tremble from before God. V'hagevaot, and the hilltops, hitmogagu, they melt, they break down. Vatisa ha'aretz mipanav v'tevel v'chol yosheveva. And the earth burns from before him. Ordinarily, earth doesn't burn, but before God, the earth burns. V'tevel v'chol yosheveva. All of the planet Tevel is the area that's inhabited, the civilized part of planet Earth, and all its inhabitants, all of them can go up in flames from before the fear of God, or before the fire of God's wrath. Lifnei zamo mi ya'amod umi yakum b'charon apo. Who could stand up to God's anger? Who could stand up to God's wrath? He's saying, so God was patient with Nineveh. It's true. But when the time comes that God finally lets his anger out, no one can stand up to it. God's patience is not an indication of his weakness. God's patience is simply an indication of his mercy.
חמתו ניתחה האש, והצורים ניתצו ממנו.
God's anger burns like a fire, והצורים, and even the rats, ניתצו, are exploded from before that fire.
טוב אדוני למעוז ביום צרה.
And even at a time where Hashem is busy punishing one nation, nonetheless, Hashem is good, he is a rock, he is a stronghold for those who have given thought to take cover in Hashem.
And God knows who are those people who want to take cover with him.
An ordinary king, if he's upset at a city, Yibam Hiroshima and Nagasaki, then there are innocent bystanders. There's no way of protecting those who are not at fault. Hashem is not that way. Hashem knows who deserves it and who doesn't. And so, even at the time that Hashem is punishing, Hashem can take note of those who do take cover with him, and Hashem knows them. Hashem connects to them. Now, on the surface, this seems to contradict the concept that we learned in the Drashot Aran. The Gemara tells us that at the time that Hashem allows punishment to come to the world, then everyone could get hurt. Everyone's in danger. God says, don't walk out of your house in the night of the plague of the firstborn. The Gemara says, Kevan she'andralamusia ba'ala olam, once all kinds of terrible things come to the world, then everyone dies. When there's a plague, everyone dies. The guy deserved it, and the other guy too. So obviously, there are different levels. He's not talking about someone who's just a good person. You have to be a chosevo, a person who really takes coverage in Hashem. A person like Avraham Avinu, who when Sodom is overturned, so then even his nephew gets saved because Avraham Avinu is on that level. The greater a person is, the more Hashem intervenes in what happens in nature on his behalf. So a person as big as Avraham Avinu, Hashem even intervenes that his nephew won't be hurt. A person like Noah, so Hashem saves him when he's destroying the rest of the world. Every person on their level.
I have a question now.
I'm with you.
Is it to Nineveh or is it to the Jewish people about Nineveh?
It would seem like it is to us about Nineveh.
Okay. And so, okay.
It does not seem like he gave over this prophecy to the people of Nineveh. Okay. It's a prophecy he said about what would happen to them.
And so, when he's talking about the destruction, he's coming at this point to remind us that if, unlike them, we trust in Hashem, then we won't have these things happen to us.
Is that
what? And what's this?
I made a mistake before. It was in Nebuchadnezzar's first year that he conquered Nineveh, not in his second year. In his second year, he conquered us. In his first year, he conquered the Assyrian Empire. Yeah.
What is the status of the Jewish people this time? Are they following God, not following God? I mean, obviously, Israel, the Northern Kingdom, never followed God. But I mean, Judah, were they following?
That's God? An excellent question. One point that's unclear here is when is the Nahum prophesizing? We explained that Nahum came after Yonah. But in truth, that's not clear. I mean, the Targum says that. The simple understanding is that he's coming after Yonah. But that's not necessarily so. We don't have an indication exactly when he lived. He lived before the destruction of the Assyrian Empire, so he lived before the exile of the people from Israel. But when exactly he lived, so we have an approximation. If we go with the Targum, if we put the two and two together, he lived before the Assyrian Empire was exiled, but after Yonah, that's where we would place him. And it would seem that he's talking after the 10 tribes were exiled already. It would seem that way, but it doesn't have to be that way. Meaning the 10 tribes were exiled shortly after Yonah. Yonah saw it coming. But we don't have a clear indication exactly when he lived. It doesn't say. Other prophets were told they lived in this time or in this king's time or in that king's time. Here it doesn't say. It's not even clear what El Koshi means. We went with the understanding that El Koshi is the name of the city he came from. But El Koshi could also be his forefathers. In the Medrash it says that Yoel, Nahum, and Habakkuk, all of them were prophets in the period of Menashe. Menashe was the wicked king. It was not a good time. So the Seder Olam, the Medrash says that the prophecy is not attributed to his period. You don't find the prophet being called, he prophesied during Menashe's time, because Menashe was so wicked they didn't want to give him that honor. That's what it says in Seder Olam.
And so we could take this as maybe a wake-up call to the Jewish people.
It could be that. It could also be an appeasement to the Jewish people. Don't think they're going to get away with it. If he's at the same period of Habakkuk, so if we have a prophet like Habakkuk who has difficulty contending with the idea that the wicked are so successful, so if at the same time period God gives an answer through Nahum, that might also be a purpose. Hashem is patient, but you should know ultimately he does pay back. Maybe. We're guessing here.
Who wrote the book? Nachum wrote this book?
I think so. Pasuk Chet. Uveshetef over kala ya'aseh mekoma. With a deluge that pours out, Hashem makes the place completely destroyed. Ve'oyevav yiradef choshech, and God chases down his enemies with darkness. So he's describing how Nebuchadnezzar just swoops down, and he just takes the throne and swoops down and completely destroys the Assyrian Empire. Here they were the greatest empire in their time. They were conquering nation after nation. No nation could stand up to them until God says it's time that their end. Now is time for them to end, and down comes Nebuchadnezzar, and he takes over their empire. Matechashevun el Adonai kala hu ose lo takum pa'amayim tzaram. What do you think about God? You nations that are plundering my people, what do you think about me? Matechashevun El Hashem, what thoughts do you attribute to God? Kala hu ose, God will decree complete desolation over you, the enemy nations who have plundered Israel. So, lo takum pa'amayim tzara. And when Hashem comes to punish, he doesn't have to take a second shot at you. He's going to do it in one shot. One shot's going to finish you off. Now this pasuk is misquoted very often. People sometimes say it about the Jewish people. Lo takum pa'amayim tzara. The enemies won't take a second shot at us. It's not talking about us. The pasuk is talking about the nations that plundered us. God says to them, when it comes time to wipe you out, I'm going to knock you out in one shot. I don't have to hit you twice. Kalahu oseh, Hashem completely destroys with one shot. Lo takum pa'amayim tzara. He doesn't have to send the enemy to harm you twice. And we'll pick up here, Be'ezrat Hashem, next week.